This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to find the work you want. Because of the COVID-19 virus, most job interviews are now happening virtually, and that means you need to learn new skills. Here today to share her job interview tips for a stay-at-home world is Toni Patterson. She's a career coach who helps smart, driven women get the salaries, promotions, and jobs they want. Toni joins us today from Philadelphia. Toni, here's where I want to start. What changes are you seeing employers make in job interviews because of the COVID-19 virus?
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Really what I've been seeing, the overarching thing I've been seeing is that more interviews are, you know, for obvious reasons, happening online. So it may have been that there was a period of time where maybe just, you know, the HR interview or that first round interview would be happening on the phone or online. But now, you know, over the last few weeks and certainly into the foreseeable future, perhaps all rounds of interviewing will be taking place online.
Well, Toni, I want to dig into the strategies and tactics of these at-home interviews, but I also want to acknowledge the extra pressure job seekers are feeling right now. Everybody wants to interview well, but it's okay in these days to be imperfect, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Max. So I think that whereas, prior to us, many of us being required to work from home, we felt that we needed to be absolutely perfect, even if we were doing a phone interview or even if we were doing a video interview. We could find a quiet place, you know, to do the interview with no distractions, nothing going on. Now that we're working from home, at the same time that our spouse is working from home, at the same time that our kids are doing school from home or just being home, and we have everything going on around us, there's going to be a lot more imperfection, right? There's going to be a lot more distraction. There's going to be, you know, a kid wanting to know where his or her socks are. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of stuff going on. But the good news is that that's the case for everyone, right? That's the case for you, you know, as the interviewee. But it's also the case for the interviewer. And so I think we can all kind of take a deep breath, you know, and relax in knowing that although we're going through a challenging time, we're kind of all going through this challenging time together. And so, if there is an imperfection, there is a distraction, you know, there's a loud noise that you wouldn't otherwise have had in your space, it's okay.
So if that kid comes on the camera looking for a snack or help in finding the socks, or your cat walks across the desk, it doesn't mean that you've blown it, does it, Toni?
That's exactly right. So what I hope that, we're conveying here is that it's okay, you know, to be human, right? It's okay to be imperfect in that way, right? I mean, there are certain ways in an interview process where you shouldn't be, right? Imperfect, but certainly as it relates to this new weird situation that we find ourselves in, it's certainly not a deal breaker, because probably 5 minutes earlier, the interviewer had the same exact thing happen to him. You know what I mean? And just roll with it. I hope, to be basically giving you permission to be okay with it, right? We've all seen many examples now, right, of terrible things that have happened on video because we're human. It's okay.
Now, a job interview is always a business meeting, usually it's with people you're seeing for the first time. What's your advice, Toni, about just at the start of an interview, asking others how they're doing during these crazy days?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So I think that right now, we're kind of in the early stages. And so people will want, you know, I mean, or certainly will feel comfortable if you ask them that question, and maybe they'll ask you that question too. What I've seen, though, a little bit of on the internet, you know, kind of through social media, is that people are starting to get tired of the question because it's like a constant reminder, right? So every Zoom call they get on, you know, either with their work or their kids' school or with an employer, potential employer, that's coming up, you know, and how are you doing? And how are you doing? And how are you doing? And we're so, you know, I think looking for distractions to some degree that, you know, maybe over time, you know, maybe in a month from now, we won't want to start with that. You know, may take the tenor of your interviewer, you know, what kind of person are they, get a sense of, you know, whether they would be asking you that first, you know, that sort of thing, over time. Cause I think we might be shifting a little bit away from asking that because we're already getting a little bit tired and stir crazy and we need the distraction away from the very hyper-focused COVID-19.
What do you recommend to the clients you work with who are interviewing now, and we're recording this on April 1st, 2020, about sharing their own feelings in an interview? Do you recommend people talk about that, or should they wait to be asked? What's your advice here, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should take it step by step, right? How it may come up naturally, right? So for instance, you know, to your earlier point, if in the middle of the interview, you know, your husband or your wife, you know, your partner bursts in to ask some question because they didn't realize that you were in an interview and it's, you know, it's distracting and it's a bit embarrassing or whatever, then, you know, you might mention something along the lines of, oh, you know, this isn't, you know, obviously this isn't normally how things are, but, you know, because we're in these weird circumstances, you know, and that might lead into a bit of a conversation about it. So because one of the things that I often try to recommend for my clients is to, you know, to be upbeat, right? To be positive. If you don't feel like you can have the discussion, you know, and it's challenging, right? It's certainly challenging for any of us to be upbeat and, you know, positive around what's going on right now in this country related to coronavirus. You know, it may be hard to, you know, to have that discussion in an upbeat manner, but you might be able to do it kind of in a joking fashion related to, you know, something that might be going on around you. And if that doesn't come up in that way, then I would say let the interviewer raise it.
And do you, in the candidates that you're working with or employers you're in touch with, are you seeing questions about health and safety come up in job interviews now?
So today, I really haven't, you know, and I think it's so very sensitive. So I think because we're, you know, what we've all seen a lot of with regard to coronavirus in particular is that, you know, whenever someone has the virus, they're openly sharing it, right? I have the virus, or my aunt has the virus, or this celebrity has the virus, you know? And so I think to some degree, there might be a, you know, in the populace, right? There might be a kind of a desensitization to the fact that these are still very private health matters, right? But as it relates to an interview, we have to be more sensitive. And so to date, I haven't seen that. The way that I've seen it, you know, addressed more so is just in a very glancing, you know, because of the virus, we're working from home, or because we've made these changes to the way we work, or we've made these changes to our hiring process in that sense, but not specifically to the health aspect.
Well, let's talk about specific interview strategies and tactics in this new world. You mentioned at the start of our conversation, you're seeing many interviews happen by video. Do phone, old-fashioned phone interviews still matter too?
Yeah, absolutely. So phone interviews have been going on forever. And typically we would see them as a first round interview, right? So the kind of screener interview that you might do with a recruiter or an internal HR person, those are still happening. But I think that because the next round interviews normally typically would happen in person, those are the ones that we're more seeing as happening over video going forward. And what I've seen a little bit of is because people are getting so used to using, you know, Zoom and Skype and other technologies for those later round interviews. And because people know, you know, that they're not going to be able to do in-person interviewing at all, you know, in the short term, some of the first round interviews, those screener interviews, are even happening over video.
And I'm curious, Tony, are you not seeing in-person interviews happen at all? Are people actually getting job offers without ever having met a hiring manager in person?
So the only interviews, you know, in maybe over the last month that I've seen, the only offers that I've seen being extended over the last month are ones where they've had in-person interviews prior to, you know, the many stay-at-home orders that have been put in place, or where they've had more like the last round interview has been over video, like to meet, you know, the CEO of the company or to meet, you know, that one last person. So to date, I haven't seen any interview that's been solely over the phone without any type of, you know, face-to-face or eye contact.
Do you think that's coming, or is it just impossible to say?
I think it's impossible to say because we're all trying to find new ways of working, and certainly, you know, HR departments are as well. But given, you know, kind of just how fast that the technology is and how inexpensive it is to meet someone virtually, you know, over video, I would find it highly unlikely that an employer would, you know, completely do away with all of that and just do all the interviewing over the phone without even, you know, getting a chance to kind of, you know, look at the person, see their gestures, get a sense of who they are.
Well, I want to talk about that technology. And I also want to talk about how to make the most of these tools, particularly when you're on camera and talking to a potential employer. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Toni Patterson. And she'll continue to share her job interview tips for a COVID-19 world. Are you looking for help with your resume? Top Resume, our show's new sponsor, can help. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. You'll get a free confidential review from a real resume expert. No, not from a computer, but an actual human being. The Top Resume team is made up of professional writers with experience in human resources, recruiting, career coaching, and job search strategy. Get them to review your resume today. It's free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. In 48 hours or less, you'll get a free, personalized, and actionable feedback from a Top Resume writer. You'll find out what you're doing right and what you could do better. You'll also get tips for how to get past the dreaded application tracking systems that screen and reject so many people. Upload your resume today. It's free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Toni Patterson. She's a career coach who helps smart, driven women get the salaries, promotions, and jobs they want. And Toni joins us today from Philadelphia. Toni, before the break, we were talking about your interview tips for a COVID-19 world, job interview tips. And we talked about the technology and how so many interviews now are happening over platforms like Zoom and Skype. Are you seeing that employers prefer a particular platform? And how important is it for job candidates to understand how these platforms work?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I haven't found that employers prefer a particular platform. So meaning that I haven't found that all employers like Zoom or all employers like WebEx. What I've found is that the platform that's being used is the one that, you know, a particular employer has, say, contracted with. So if, you know, if we internally at our company use WebEx for our internal meetings when we're talking to people, you know, across the country, then that's the platform. And so unfortunately, what that means for job seekers who are going to be doing these interviews is that they, you know, need to have a bit of comfort or familiarity with numerous platforms, right? And there are many of them. Most of us are familiar with kind of, you know, the more casual ones like FaceTime or WhatsApp. But for companies, it's the big three that I see being used are Zoom, WebEx, and Skype. And so the good news, though, often is that you as the interviewee will get an invitation, right? A web link invitation to those platforms beforehand. So you can kind of click on the link. You may not be able to get into that particular meeting because it's scheduled for a particular time, but, you know, get a bit of comfort with the platform, download the software, you know, sign up, kind of poke around and get a little bit comfortable with it before your interview begins. And it's free for you to use.
Yeah. And I know there are little tricks that each of these platforms allow you to use, like, for example, putting your name under your photo, and there are other things that you can do to highlight yourself and put your best foot forward virtually, aren't there?
Absolutely. Exactly. So, I mean, using Zoom as an example, when you log into Zoom, so you'll get the invitation to join Zoom, if that's the platform that the interviewer is going to use. You know, you'll, if you haven't already downloaded it, you download that, it's free for you to do so. And then there's an opportunity for you to kind of click certain settings. So one of the settings would be to add just a picture of yourself, right? So that even if you're not on video, you know, there is an image of you. And that might be helpful for you if, for instance, you are say doing a first round interview, right? If it's a quick 30 minute, you know, HR interview, your interviewer, you know, may not even want to be on video. You know, I've seen that too, you know, and so they might just have, you know, their image up there. And then in that case, you want to have an image up too. And then there's an opportunity for you to put your name. But in addition, you can also adjust settings so that when you get into the session, you can either automatically have your audio settings so that they can automatically hear you or not, that they can automatically see you on video or not. You know, my recommendation is that everything is off until you turn it on so that you know, when you're ready to go and no one hears any, you know, or sees anything they shouldn't see before you're all set.
Well, let's talk about that. What kind of setting do you recommend a candidate choose when getting ready for an interview that will happen on camera? What do you want the employer to see?
Yes. So one of the main things to think about that we obviously didn't have to think about when we were doing an interview in person was where the interview is going to take place. So if you have a home office, that's great. You know, many of us do not. And even if you do have a home office, you know, you really need to kind of look at what's going on behind you and what's going on around you. You know, turn the camera on your computer, or if you're using your phone or webcam, you know, turn the computer on and see what's happening to the sides of you and around you. Ensure that it's obviously, you know, a neat, clean space that, you know, suggests that you're an organized person. But then also, you know, ensure that there's nothing in the shot that you don't want your interviewer to be distracted by, right? Like some, you know, a photo of something or a poster of something, or, you know, in my office, one of the things I have that's, you know, totally personal is my vision board, you know, you know what I mean? I don't want my interviewer looking over my shoulder, trying to understand my vision board, you know? So, you know, take the moment to look around and see what else is in the office. That's one basic thing that you should be doing before the interview.
And there's an opportunity there to, in a positive professional way, to share some of your personality too by the objects that might appear in the background, isn't there?
That's exactly right. That's a great point. And so, right. So that's the converse, right? I guess if there's something that you want to be, you know, a conversation starter, or just something that projects, you know, the kind of person you are, you know, there's also an opportunity for you to kind of highlight your expertise, right? You know what I mean? It's the equivalent of you always see in, you know, lawyers' offices on television, there's always that big stack of books, right? To show I'm an expert in the law. You know, if you have, if you're in a technical field and you want to highlight some of that kind of stuff, or if you're in, you know, photography field and you want to highlight that, you know, then that would be a great way to use the space behind and around you.
What about lighting, Tony? While this isn't a Hollywood film, there are some basic steps that people can do to, again, put themselves forward in the best possible light. What are some basic steps that you recommend to your clients?
Yeah, exactly. So you're right. It doesn't need to be a Hollywood studio, but when you are in person with an interviewer, there's an opportunity for them to, you know, to see you clearly, right, as clearly as possible, to perceive all your gestures, to ensure that they're looking in your eyes, you know, understanding your body language and that sort of thing. So you need to make sure that even though you're virtual, that they can still see all of that, right? You know, a small facial expression can make a huge difference, right? And you want to make sure that they can see that. And so this doesn't have to be, you know, some, you know, expensive lighting kit that you're buying. You don't need to go out and get, you know, the lights that a professional photographer or videographer would use. But just kind of, you know, once you've decided where your space is that you're going to be having these interviews, look at the lighting situation. Are there a lot of shadows in the room? If so, you might want to, you know, bring in for the interviews, bring in some light, you know, some of the standing lamps or some table lamps from some of your other rooms. You know, many young people today have little lights that they clip on top of their phone to take all their glamour shots of themselves. You know, maybe for your interviews, you can borrow that light and clip it around the camera that's on the front of your computer or that's on your phone if you're going to use your phone for the interview. Just ensure that you are in brightness and not in shadow, right? Because even if you have the same exact posture or expression in shadow as you do in brightness, it just seems more energetic, right? More inviting if it's in the light. And you have to just do all that you can do to make sure that you're seen in the best possible light. Forgive the pun, you know, when you are engaging with someone over video.
And so this is could be as simple as experimenting with shades up and down, paying attention to where you sit in a room at a particular, knowing that the conversation is going to happen at a particular time of day and knowing what the light is going to be like in that room, or moving table lamps or standing lamps around. It's not necessarily about buying a lighting kit, but it sounds like maybe a young adult or teenager who is paying attention to photography might have a helpful tip or tool as well.
Absolutely. And if you absolutely feel like you need to, you know, because of the setup and where would be the best place for you to have your interview, that it just, you know, not feasible to do any of those things, then you really can go just on Amazon and find something very, very inexpensive, especially if you're feeling like now is your hiring season, right? You know you're going to be out there interviewing, you know multiple interviews are going to be happening over the next few months and they're all going to be happening on video. It might be worth it for you to invest, you know, $30 or so to have a light that you can really shine on your face to make sure that you're being seen.
You mentioned body language a moment ago. What kind of gestures or posture can help or hurt a candidate when doing a video interview?
Yeah. So most of the gestures and posture that you would correct if you were doing a face-to-face interview is applicable here for a video interview. But one main difference that I like to highlight is the eye contact. Right. And so, and because it's a struggle, people, you know, we've never really had to think about it in this way before. So if we are, you know, doing WhatsApp or FaceTime or something like that with friends, we are on our phone and we're kind of looking at, you know, the screen of our phone. And they're looking at the screen of their phone, right? And that's normal. It's casual conversation. It doesn't really matter. But what we don't really realize is that to the other person, it doesn't really look like we're looking at them in the eye, right? So, or rather, it's so commonplace for us to do that now that it's not even something we think about. We know the importance of connecting with someone and looking at them directly in the eye. But it's a bit counterintuitive how it works when you're doing it over video. So typically over video, our natural inclination is to look at the screen, right? To look at the person that we're seeing on the screen, because that's where they are. But when you do that on video, it doesn't appear that you're actually looking at them directly in the eye. So in order to appear that you're looking at someone directly in the eye, you actually need to be looking at the camera lens, which on a computer, on a laptop, it tends to be on the top of the screen. Or if you have a webcam, you'll know where your webcam is. Or on your phone, it's like a tiny little, you know, lens at the top or the side of the screen. And so you need to practice that to get comfortable with it.
That's a great tip. And I can see why practice would help, because it is unnatural. You're looking over someone's head, basically, while they're speaking. What about dress, Tony? These are informal times, even before COVID-19, but how important is it to perhaps dress a little more formally for a job interview that's happening virtually, even during the COVID-19 period?
Yes, absolutely right. So although, you know, I know a lot of us are taking work meetings in our PJs and our sweatshirts and that sort of thing, yes, for a job interview, it's still important to be professional. It's still, for at least on the top half, right? It's important to wear, you know, the same type of professional attire that you would be wearing if you needed to be there in person. So worst thing to happen would be you had to stand up for something, right? Or you dropped something and all of a sudden it's your pajamas on the bottom, right? I think it's okay for the interviewer to do that if he or she wanted to, but for you, it's important for you to set the tone for how you want to be viewed. And it needs, of course, to conform with, you know, with your industry, right? And what's the norm? If the norm is, you know, a t-shirt and jeans, and that would be completely comfortable, then maybe there's a bit of leeway there. But for most of us, you know, for an interview, we would wear, you know, a suit or certainly, you know, semi-professional attire. So that's what I would recommend for this interview format as well.
And finally, about follow-up, often the gold standard is a handwritten note. Do you still recommend that? Or given that many people might not be checking their U.S. mail at their office, is an email better when it comes time to say thank you for an interview?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's important to send an email right away. I often recommend both. So because I personally love handwritten notes and I feel like, you know, they stand out more. But because it's important, I think, within 24 hours to, you know, send a thank you note, that's where the email comes in. So at least the email, and if you feel comfortable, you know, perhaps you don't even feel comfortable going, you know, to the mailbox anymore. But if you do feel comfortable, then follow up with a brief handwritten thank you.
Well, I appreciate all these useful tips. And it's been a great conversation, Tony. What, tell us, what's next for you?
Yeah, because of everything that's been going on with COVID-19, and there's a lot of concern about not just, you know, interviewing, but whether there'll even be jobs, right? And how to stand out in a very, very, very competitive time. You know, I've put together a resource that I'm hoping will be extremely valuable to your listeners. And it's, you know, the 10 easy ways to update your LinkedIn profile so that the jobs find you. So it's practical things that you can do in these times to make sure that you stand out for employers.
Well, that's very generous of you. And I know people can find that resource by visiting tonyapatterson.com/maxlist. And there are many other useful resources and information about your services at your website. That's TonyAPatterson.com. Now, Tony, given all the useful advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about your job interview tips for a COVID-19 world?
Yeah, I think we're in a very strange time, certainly an unprecedented time for all of us. And so there's, you know, certain fear and uncertainty around, you know, job market and hiring altogether. But I think an overarching tip that I would share is to look, right? If you're so inclined, you know, don't feel like interviewing is not happening because it is, right? Don't feel like hiring isn't happening because it is. And so if you've been in that process of looking, continue to look, right? Just, you know, take these tips and use them to adjust your interviewing, but continue to look. And if you've been considering looking for a new job, you know, but have been putting it off because, you know, for XYZ reasons, and now you're feeling like, well, is COVID-19 another reason to put it off? You know, I'm telling you that it's not, right? People are still hiring. There's still opportunities for you out there. You just need to position yourself in the right way. And the tips that we talked about today is going to be very helpful to you for doing that.
Do you enjoy listening to Find Your Dream Job? Then sign up today to get our free weekly show notes for every episode. Go to maxlist.org/podcasts. Again, that's maxlist.org/podcast. Next week, our guest is Byron Clark. He's the founder of CareerSidekick.com. His advice is read by more than 1 million people per month. Life has changed dramatically because of the COVID-19 virus. And you may believe that you should stop your job search during the pandemic. Byron and I will talk about why you should keep looking for work during these difficult times, and he'll share his practical tips for how to do so. I hope you'll join us. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.